Ramsey TV.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the Sinatra thing going here. I'm having, questionable success. Look at Frank, look at me, look at Frank, look at me. I do have blue eyes, but I just can't sing. It's a shame. But old Frank, he has his talents. I have mine. This is Martin Zender. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula here in Studio One, and happy to be with you, making sense for a living, as always, and inviting always the wisdom of others. I love it when other people contribute to this conversation and you are engaged and you want to know more. You have a hunger and thirst for knowledge. And I must tell you that a hunger and thirst for knowledge is a gift, because we are surrounded by darkness. We're surrounded by ignorance. The world's not getting smarter, my friends. Oh, no, it is getting dumber. And as I talked of in the Revelation series, that is due partly to the intoxicant of Babylon, that is the detrimental effects of popular culture, of television, of movies, of commercials. Yes. The deadening effect of social media, the deadening effect of cell phone usage, constantly texting, needing the instant hit of gratification, of being liked on Facebook, of being liked wherever, and just being constantly needing affirmation, even if it's fluffy and non-nutritious. We have the affirmation of Jesus Christ, who says that we are righteous. This is far deeper than a like on Facebook. This is as aeonian. This has aeonian implications. It has great implications in the glory department. And moth doesn't eat it, rust doesn't destroy it, and technology doesn't zap it into the ether. You can't lose it, what we have. Many of you, I'm sure, have experienced the horror of seeing your work disappear. Somebody wrote me an email the other day. They said, Martin, I worked for about 30 minutes on an email to you, and suddenly it disappeared, and it was zapped into the air, never to be seen again. And that's horrifying, isn't it? When you lose your files on your computer, you have a glitch, you have a computer breakdown. What do they call that? A fallout? No. What do they call it? The big bang? Computer bang? No. Something bad happens to your computer, and it's done. We do not have to worry about that. Our salvation is saved on the cloud. Yes, we are saved on the cloud. We are protected from any explosion, from any accident here. You can't spill coffee on your salvation and lose it. You can't spill your life over the edges and lose your salvation. It is saved. It was set apart for you before the disruption of the world, and now you have it, and you can't lose it. God is protecting it. Back to the crucifixion. It seems incredible that to the Jews, the cross was a stumbling block. The cross was something they had to repent of. Read Acts chapter 2, the famous address Peter at Pentecost. The cross is bad news in Acts chapter 2. Look at what you did. You have to repent of that. Yet, as our friend Ruth says here at the word of the cross, I left off yesterday the evangel in the circumcision. It's the prophetic word confirmed, 2 Peter 1:9. There's another verse there for you, Romans 15:8. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to be crucified for the sins of the world? No, it doesn't say that. To be crucified so that a large body of people could be identified with him in his death? No, it doesn't say that. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. So Paul confirms in Romans 15:8 what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:9, the prophetic word confirmed. Same word used, confirmed. Paul's not confirming anything. Why? Because he's extolling the untraceable riches of Christ. Untraceable means you can't trace it. I mean, you can't find it. You can look in vain in the Old Testament for Paul's gospel. You'll find hints of it. You'll find hints of justification. But you will look in vain for the salvation of all. You will look in vain for a people who are seated among the celestials in Christ. You will look in vain in the Hebrew Scriptures for people who are said to be a new creation. You'll look in vain for a message that undoes the work of Adam, the first human being. Rather, you will find people working to correct themselves, people working to clean themselves up, to do things that God would be pleased with, to produce fruit worthy of repentance. You will find people approaching the temple, circumcising their sons, baptizing. You will find them bringing their sheep, bringing their lambs, bringing their goats, bringing their turtle doves to Jerusalem. You will find them having to go to Jerusalem because that was the home of the priesthood. In the body of Christ, you will not find a priesthood. You will find direct access to God. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. You don't need to face Mecca. You don't need to call a priest. You don't need to call Peter. You don't need to pray for the intercession of saints. We have Jesus Christ himself living in our hearts. The Spirit of God lives in our hearts as well. We are double fortified. And if Satan is this far from your face, watch the studio cam. God and Christ are this close. They can't penetrate. They can't penetrate the sheen of righteousness we have. We have a sheen of righteousness. We have a sheen of protection that cannot be penetrated by the enemy unless God wants it penetrated. Like in the case of Paul, he had a messenger of Satan to buffet him, but it was just buffeting him. It was in the flesh, but it was like boom, 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 banging against his sheen. You may have things banging against your sheen, but the sheen is impenetrable, my friends. Yes, you have a super sheen. That's my word for it. It's called the Spirit of God that makes its home in you. Now, yes, the prophetic word confirms 2 Peter 1, 9, Romans 15, 8, Jesus, a minister of the circumcision, versus all that, versus the word of the cross. The word of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1, 18, the word of the cross is salvation. The evangel, our evangel, centers around the word of the cross, not upon prophetic scriptures, not among Jesus Christ when he was on earth, confirming the patriarchal promises, that is, the promises God made to Abraham. No, it centers around the manner of his death. The manner. This is so important. It's the way he was killed that threw Israel for a complete loop. This is why they couldn't focus on it. I know I've said this before, but this really, you need to hear this again. If Jesus Christ had merely been a fulfillment of the Old Testament types, then he would have been laying on an altar and had his throat slit, and he would have mercifully died as the blood flowed from his body. The blood flowing out would remove the pain because the soul was in the blood, and he would have died as painlessly as the lambs. That would have been the proper way to have been the antitype of the Hebrew sacrifices, the Old Testament sacrifices. And yet, nobody was ready for 6 hours of torture on a Roman stake. That did not answer any of the Old Testament prophecies. There was no precedent for that. There was no type for that. It was ridiculous. It was over the top, and Israel simply did not understand it. All they saw was a horrible murder. That's why Peter points to the cross and says, repent, repent of that, repent of that. Paul says the cross was so bad. The cross was so far-reaching into the bowels of the Adamic race, that it does away with the old humanity. And the doing away of the old humanity is exclusively a body of Christ truth. It's exclusively a Paul truth. The cross wipes out humanity. Yeah, I do need to say this to you again. The cross shows us what humanity can do. It shows us what humanity is capable of doing to the Son of God. Not only to killing him, like, it's not merely putting a knife through his heart or slitting his throat or shooting him with an arrow. It's the protracted 6 hours of torture and the preliminaries, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the humiliation. All of these things had to have had the heads of Peter, James, John, and the rest spinning. They did not understand it. It did not answer any of the types. They had nothing in their experience to understand that. And that question of why it had to be that way was left unsaid. It was left unanswered. It was left not explained until Paul. The reason Jesus Christ needed another spokesman besides the 12 apostles is because he needed to explain something that happened at Calvary, that happened during the crucifixion, that he could not explain to Israel because they could barely apprehend their call. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I tell you of the terrestrial and you're not believing. What if I should be telling you of the celestial? There's so many things that he did not tell Nicodemus or even his 12 disciples about. They couldn't even understand that the prophecies concerning his death. Oh, may it not be coming to you. Jeez, how stupid can you guys be? He saved this. Saved it. Number one, for the worst sinner on the face of the planet, saved it for his vilest enemy because it was going to be a message of grace and he needed a trophy boy. He needed a poster child. He needed to exercise his grace on the worst sinner. So he chose Saul of Tarsus, who was worse than Hitler because he was fighting God. Hitler was only fighting the Jews. As terrible as that was, Saul was fighting God himself. And he called him outside of the land of Israel. And the reason it was so exciting for Jesus Christ to finally come down and talk to Paul is because Jesus Christ had done this epic thing and nobody even got it. Nobody even understood it. He knew what he was doing on the cross, but he kept mum about it because on earth he was strictly a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. That's what he was on the earth. And so he purposely had to keep mum. He purposely had to keep all this in of what he was doing and what he would do for all humanity, for the universe, for all the sons of Adam. Another way of saying all humanity. But it's so frustrating, probably, even after his resurrection, Peter's pointing to the cross and saying, repent of this. Read Acts chapter 2. The cross is not the centerpiece of the circumcision gospel. And Jesus knows they can't talk about this because he hasn't revealed it. They're clueless. They're barely past the dumb fisherman category. Barely past the dumb fisherman category. If it weren't for those little tongues of fire that appeared upon them on Pentecost to give them the Holy Spirit, they would not even have been able to, you know, properly execute their kingdom duties on the day of Pentecost, speaking specifically of Peter there. So Jesus Christ, listening to this talk Peter has at Pentecost, and I'm not saying he's frustrated, but it's like, oh man, that is so... Peter is pointing to the cross, as he must, as something to repent of. And he goes, wait till I call this guy. I got so much. I'm going to unburden myself. Nobody knew what happened during that 6 hours. Even my closest friends on earth have no clue. But I'm going to tell it to somebody. I got it. You know, when you have a secret, when you have something that you're dying to tell somebody, right? And you just can't wait to tell them because it's the greatest news ever. Or you just won the lottery or something great happened. You know, your kid got accepted into college or whatever, you just can't wait to tell somebody. So Jesus Christ can't wait to tell somebody. So he unburdens himself on Saul. It's like, this is what the cross was. This is the centerpiece of everything. I wasn't just a sacrifice for Israel. I'm not just the designated Son of God. I'm not just the designated Messiah for the descendants of Abraham. No. I'm so much more. I'm the answer to Adam. I pull the problem out by the roots. I go back to the source. I eliminate the entire human race. And you're going to be heralding a message, my friend, my now friend, that is going to announce there's neither Jew nor Greek. That would have been shocking to Paul. You never hear that message from the 12. Neither Jew nor Greek. That message is suicide to them. Because they're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you hear the number 12? Yeah, neither Jew nor Greek. Get serious. Paul heralds Christ crucified. To the Greek stupidity, to the Jews, a stumbling block because of the thoroughness of it, of the depth of it. And they don't want their old humanity eliminated. Are you kidding me? You think Jews want their old humanity eliminated? They hate the very idea of it because they have a certain pride, a certain, really, justified pride in their flesh. You will have to show your Jew card to get into the kingdom. I'm so fired up about this. I'm looking at my time. I could talk about this for another 30 minutes. Oh my God. It is so different. It's so different. Those who are not yet convinced, I beg you to consider these things. How can you help it? I'm shoving it down your throat. I know that's what I do. I'm shoving it down your throat. Jesus Christ unburdens himself to Paul. And for a while, Paul was the only guy on the planet who knew this stuff. Can you imagine that? What loneliness? Can you imagine that? They talk about Michael Collins on Apollo 11 on the far side of the moon. How about this guy? Cut off from all humanity, getting a message, and now Jesus Christ says to him, now go tell people about it. Go tell people about it. Do you know how this is going to go over, Lord? Yeah, I do. I do know how it's going to go over. And I will be telling you of the many things you shall suffer for my sake. And we are filling up in his stead the afflictions of Christ. There are more afflictions to be had. Paul didn't use them all up. We are able to be afflicted, and it is a great advantage. It is a great privilege to be afflicted for the sake of the evangel. We're buying stock because what we're suffering now is not worthy to be compared to the glory that Jesus Christ is bringing us soon.